Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hi, everyone. This is Helena Hart. Welcome to episode 158 of my podcast. I'm talking with Robert Mack again today. He's an Ivy League educated positive psychology expert, celebrity happiness coach, published author, and television host and producer. He's been featured on television shows like Good Morning America, The Today Show, CBS Morning Show, and Access Hollywood. His first book, Happiness from the Inside Out, The Art and Science of Fulfillment, is celebrity endorsed and critically acclaimed. And his most recent release, Love from the Inside Out, Lessons and Inspiration for Loving Yourself, Your Life, and Each Other, is a bestseller. I always love chatting with you and having you on my podcast. So welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me. I love being on.
We have a great topic for everyone today. We're going to be talking about how to attract what you want, even if you're going through a difficult time. I've been getting a lot of requests for an episode on this topic, and I knew you were the perfect person to bring on and talk about this. So is there anything you want to say before we get started?
I would just come on here more regularly just for the ego stroke. So, thanks for that. No, but I just love being here and I appreciate you so much and always enjoy the conversations. They're always the best conversations.
Absolutely. This is some of my favorite material to talk about. And we were chatting a little bit before we started recording, and I'm actually going through a difficult time right now myself. We can talk a little bit about that if you'd like, as we get into some of this material, but I'm sort of coming out the other side of it. I've been getting so many requests for episodes about what I'm going through and what I've learned. And I've really wanted to do that, but I just haven't been in a place to just record something. And I still don't really feel like I'm at a place for it. So I'd love to just sort of share my own experience as we talk about this. And I know you've probably been through a lot of similar things yourself and have come out the other side of it. So what's the first thing you have to say for someone who might be going through a difficult time right now?
Oh, welcome to the human race party again. Welcome back to the human race. I mean, I don't know anyone who I'd consider truly wise or truly successful or truly happy or truly peaceful or loving or self-loving who hasn't been through tough stuff. In fact, I'd argue that it's the tough stuff that makes us beautiful and makes us truly rich and truly happy and truly peaceful and truly loving and truly self-loving, truly wise and truly healthy from the inside out. So please know you're not alone. Please know it's extraordinarily tough. It's so easy to talk about this stuff from like a positive, constructive perspective when you're not going through it. But when you're going through it, it's like all bets are off and whatever you're feeling, it's okay to feel. Whatever you're thinking is okay to think. We've all been there before and we'll probably be there again. And there are ways to make the pain less painful.
I would love to get into exactly how to do that and also how to actually attract what you want, even if you are going through a difficult time. I get questions all the time like, is it possible to manifest what you want or create something new in your life or attract more positive things into your life experience when you're a little depressed or feeling discouraged or frustrated? And I always say the answer to that is yes, absolutely. It's all about the way you go about it. But I'd love to hear your perspective on that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, look, all you have to do is look out into the world and see all the people who are less than happy, but super rich, or less than happy and still very healthy, and maybe deeply miserable and still in relationships or whatever. You can see that manifestation is something that we all do every day, all day, no matter who we are, and no matter how much we think we suck at it. And, you know, like it says in the Bible, it says the most spiritual and religious text, some version of, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. So I would say, in other words, it rains on the happy and unhappy alike. You know, it rains on the peaceful and the folks that are experiencing a lot of stress and anxiety on the inside alike or too. So the first thing is, I mean, if you look out into the world and you look into your life, you'll notice how powerful and unconditional the stream of well-being is. The sun continues to shine even when you're depressed. The rain continues to fall even when you're stressed out and anxious. The grass grows, the rivers flow, your heart beats, your lungs breathe, your brain orchestrates it all. You know, you sometimes or somehow still have a roof over your head. Hopefully you still have water to drink. I mean, if you think about all of the most critical life-sustaining function and activities that exist, you'll notice that they exist and they continue to exist, and you continue to be fed and nourished by life in ways that go beyond our simple or simplistic understanding of the law of attraction. So the stream of well-being is so powerful and so good that no matter how hard you try, you can't thwart it, but for so long. And you can't ever fully thwart it. You can't ever fully blot out the sun, no matter how hard you try. You can close your eyes to it. So I think and I hope that that takes some of the pressure off of all of us, because I think we can freak ourselves out and stress ourselves out by thinking that we have to think positive thoughts or feel positive feelings all the time in order to manifest good stuff in our lives, and we don't.
That is such a great point, and I can relate to that a lot. Again, we were chatting a little before we started recording, and I'm actually experiencing some anxiety this week. I'm having a major surgery next week. I'm getting my left knee replaced, and then I'll probably do the right side after that. It's been since last year that I've really been able to walk and have a normal life. I'm regaining some of that, but in order to really get back to the life that I was living before, this is something that I'm going through right now, and I do have a lot of anxiety. And my natural tendency is to think that I have to do something in order to get the outcome I want. Like I have to think positively really hard. Of course, deep down, I know that that's not true, but that's my natural tendency. It's that sort of urgent feeling like I need to do all these things in the correct order. And I know that's not true. Do you experience that as well? Do you have any advice for people who think that they have to try really hard in order to get a certain outcome?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I had a great conversation with a friend just yesterday about this specific theme and topic. Always feeling that you need to do something in order to get what you want in life. Mm-hmm. How often that is not only not productive, it's counterproductive. It can work against you. So yeah, I'd say I spent most of my life trying to get more, attract more, manifest more by doing more. And sometimes the doing was thinking more, right? Because thinking is also a kind of doing. But I think there's an easier, smarter, more enjoyable, less painful way to attract and manifest what you want into your life. And it doesn't mean doing more. And often it means doing less. It even means thinking less.
I love that idea. Can we talk a little bit more about that? I'd love to get real specific into exactly how that works and how to do it. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah. The first place for me to start is that I'd like to remind myself that no matter what it is that I want, that we want, that anyone wants, we only want it because we think we'll feel better for having it. If we didn't think we would feel better for having it, we wouldn't want it at all. So you'd say, well, I'd still want the $1 million or the $10 million as well. Let's play that out a little and look at all the millionaires and celebrities and other folks that have been rich and successful and yet have been so deeply depressed that they wanted to kill themselves, to tell you something about how little money can actually do for your life, particularly if you're miserable. And so the first thing, just to prioritize, I think above all else, is that you want to ultimately feel better, that what you most want to attract or manifest or demonstrate in your life is a better feeling. It's just that simple, a better feeling. And we can get to that better feeling in a number of ways, really in countless ways. But the first part is just to remember that above all else, no matter what you want, what you really want is simply to feel better. So you start there.
That's something I talk about all the time. It's just so true. The reason we want anything is because we think we're going to feel better when we get it. That's the reason we want the love of our life by our side, or the money in the bank, or the fulfilling career, or the family, or the dream home, or vacation, or whatever it is. And so I always say, you can get yourself to that good feeling place right now, but that can be difficult if you are, like I mentioned, a little depressed or feeling frustrated or discouraged. So how do you get there from where you are if you don't feel that way right now from where you stand in this moment?
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, it can feel difficult. For some folks, it can feel impossible. For me, for decades, it felt impossible. It can also be easy. It can also be relaxed. It can be playful. I think we've made hard work of easy things like relaxing, like feeling good. I mean, we look out into nature. We can see that all of nature is perfectly blissful, except for human beings. Like only human beings make a problem of their own existence. Only human beings experience the kind of depression and suicidal ideation, the stress, the anxiety, and self-loathing that we do as human beings. And that's mostly because we overthink. We have this obsessive, compulsive, really an addiction to thinking, to a discursive thought, to analytical thought. And so the first place to start for me is just realizing, recognizing, and admitting that it can be easier than we think it is. Literally, it can be easier than you think it is. You think it's difficult, but that's always a little bit of an illusion. The reason that we have or experience difficulty around it is because we've practiced for a very long time thinking and working very hard at it. But if we can remember moments in our lives when it's been easy to feel joyful, playful, even less than that, relaxed, not concerned, unbothered, unworried, it's helpful to remember and notice those moments and how easy it was to do it. And if you can't find any or you're having trouble finding any, just remember the last time you had a really great nap. The last time you had a really great nap is a great anchor. It's a great experience to bring to mind because you'll notice that when you fall asleep, you're not thinking or doing anything. In fact, it's the relaxation of thought. It's the relaxation of effort that allows you to fall asleep. And in that sleep, it's so peacefully blissful. And yet you don't feel dead. You just feel really rejuvenated, recharged again. And so one of the best places to go if you really are struggling is sometimes just to take a nap. But also to remember that even if you're not taking a nap, happiness and peace and feeling better or feeling good can be as easy as taping a nap. So in other words, it doesn't have to require more effort. It doesn't have to require you taking more action. It doesn't have to require you thinking more, figuring something new out. It can be as simple as saying, I'm going to take a nap, and or what else have I done in the past that allowed me to feel just a little relief? Sometimes reaching for excitement or happiness or joy or contentment is way too tall and ambitious in order. Instead, just what small little thing would help me feel a little relief? Could it be a nap? Could it be going for a walk? Could it be watching a TV show? Could it be something as easy as just having a little something sweet today? But the idea is just, can you reach for a feeling of relief? And yes, sometimes it's activities that let you do that. Sometimes it's dropping the ball on things and not doing specific things that you feel like you should, but you know deep down you don't have to. You're just allowing someone else or yourself to sort of pressure yourself into doing something you don't really want to do or need to do. So I'd say that first is remembering and acknowledging and recognizing that it can be easier to feel better. It can be easier to feel happy than you think it is.
You know what I love about that? It didn't require you to solve the problem or figure it out before you allow yourself to feel a little relief. Because I think the natural tendency for so many of us is to think, well, I need to figure this out first and then I'll feel better. And this is kind of the opposite. That thing that you want will come when you allow yourself a little bit of relief. Do I have that right?
You nailed it. That's exactly right. The idea is more allowing, less striving, achieving. So happiness, peace, love, joy, and I'd argue success and everything else you want to, prosperity, is something that you allow more than it's something that you try to achieve. It's something that you start by acknowledging and that you start with, it's almost accepting as opposed to thinking that you have to go out in the world and get it. So that's why great teachers, whether they're spiritual teachers, religious teachers, or philosophers, people that have spent some serious time thinking about or meditating on any of these topics or themes will say, you're not in the world is in you. That which you seek is within you. That which you seek, you are. And that which you are, you seek. So stop doing that kind of thing. And so at first it sounds so like woo-woo. But when you sit with it for a while, you realize that there have been times in your life when happiness has been so easy, when joy has been so easy, and peace has been so easy that you couldn't help it. I remember as a kid laughing at the most inappropriate times. It's like happiness and joy and peace to be that easy. And the beautiful thing about kids is that they don't tend to overthink too much. I mean, eventually they start to, the prefrontal cortex grows and abstract thought becomes more and more accessible. But happiness and joy and peace can be that easy. And so just remembering that it's not about you needing to get the right answer to know everything there is about happiness or about peace or about success or about the financial or the economic markets or any of that stuff. You can simply just allow more good feelings into your life by letting go of your need to achieve, acquire, or even know one more thing. In fact, I'd argue that it's most of that stuff that gets in the way of us experiencing the intrinsic and innate and inherent happiness and peace and love that exists within us all the time.
Those are some really powerful insights, especially for people like me. And it sounds like maybe you can relate to this as well. I know my audience definitely can. Sometimes the more driven and ambitious you are, the more frustrated you can get or discouraged or maybe even depressed when things aren't going the way that you had hoped they would, or you're trying really hard and trying to figure out a solution. And it almost feels like you're getting further away from it. It's like you're attracting more of the problem rather than getting yourself to a place where the answers and solutions can start revealing themselves to you or making their way to you. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, you nailed it. That's so beautifully put. That's so eloquently and poignantly put. You're absolutely right about that. In the quote unquote real world, the material world, the physical world, the world of your work and your relationships, it can very much seem and appear to us that doing more or trying harder or learning more, that's the game, that's a meritocracy. And so that in the outer world, the more effort you put in, the more you're rewarded. It can feel like that, it seems like that. So if you want to achieve or make more money, you need to put in more effort. But what we're talking about is actually diametrically opposite to that. So we're talking about the inner world, the world of, let's call it emotion and feelings, but I'd go deeper than that and just say the state of being or the being that you essentially are. That works by the exact opposite laws. So you don't feel peaceful by striving more. You feel peaceful by giving up your striving, by letting go of the striving. It's a non-striving, non-worrying, less doing, less thinking, more being experience of who and what you truly are. And so that's hard for most of us because we just assume that if we're not getting what we want, we need to try harder. But with this, I won't say that you want to give up your effort, but the idea is that you want to try and find a way, a path that's more playful, that's easier, that's more enjoyable. And it doesn't mean just because you're not feeling good or you're not attracting what you want, it doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong at all. And it doesn't mean that you don't know enough or aren't doing enough. It often means just the opposite. You're trying too hard. You're trying to do too much. You're trying to think too much. And you're not allowing yourself to feel the bit of peace, love, and happiness that exist within you all the time. And your eyes and your mind, your heart is sort of blocked to the countless ways and the countless miracles that exist around you everywhere and within you all the time. So you've probably heard of the gorilla study, but if anybody hasn't heard of it before, you should check it out. It's very simple. There was a room full of students and they're asked essentially, watch this video. And in the video, there are a bunch of people in the video, and those people in the video are in a different classroom and they're tossing basketballs back and forth. And the experimenters, I mean, in this research study, the experimenter says to the real students in the class, says, watch this video and now count the number of successful basketball passes completed in this video. So they all watch it and they come up with different answers, 13, 15, 14, whatever. And the experimenter says, okay, thanks for your answers. Did you notice anything strange in the video? Everybody's like, no, I didn't notice anything strange. Nothing at all. No, I mean, just people throwing basketballs back and forth. They weren't very good basketball players or passers, but whatever. And then he rewinds the video and he shows them and he stops at about halfway through the video. And right in the middle of the video, you see this person dressed in a gorilla costume, stops in the middle of the screen, waves at the screen, and then saunters off, walks off the other side of the screen. Everybody missed that person dressed as a gorilla on the first viewing. Everybody saw it on the second viewing. And the reason is that on the first viewing, we're so attached to being successful and to striving and to achieving and to getting the right answer that we miss the most beautiful and surprising experiences of all. In this case, it was somebody dressed as a gorilla who stopped in the middle of the screen and waved at the screen. So that's called inattentional blindness. And it happens to us when we try too hard.
That is so interesting. I've actually never heard about that study before. So thank you for sharing that. It's so true, though. It's like when you're so focused on the problem or what you think you're supposed to be doing, you can really miss life's magic and the actual path unfolding or the solutions being presented to you. We can miss those really easily if we're focused on the problem or just have our head down working and striving and trying to do something or accomplish something. And I think it's important to note, it's not about never taking action, I would imagine you would say, right? It's just about not taking action from a misaligned place. You want to get yourself into alignment and then see what you feel inspired to do. Then follow that intuitive hit or take inspired action from that place. Do I have that right? Or what are your thoughts on that?
That's beautifully said. Yeah, it's about inspired action, right? So I think we try to get too much leverage out of action itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So a lot of teachers would say, you don't create through your action, you receive through action. It's one way of saying it. But the idea is we try to get too much leverage. We try to get too many results from action alone. Instead, we want to take inspired action. So it's action that is not taken from a place of desperation or neediness or greediness. It's not taken from a place of lack. It's taken from a place of alignment where you're feeling just a little bit more peaceful, a little bit more joyful, a little bit more happy or alive. From that place, you're a lot more creative, a lot more productive, a lot more efficient and effective and efficacious at what you happen to be doing. We know that because there have been decades worth of studies that have basically found that we're at our creative best and we're at our problem solving best when we're relaxed, when we're not so worried and concerned and so desperate and so needy and greedy about getting the results and getting the results quickly. And so the more you can relax, the more things just come to you, including answers, including people. Also, you can think about this in practical ways. If we didn't want to go, let's say, a spiritual path, we can just talk about it in very simple ways. When you're relaxed, notice, are other people more less attracted to you? They're more attracted to you.
Mm-hmm.
When you're relaxed, are you more or less attracted to other people? They're more attracted to other people. When you're relaxed, are you more or less creative? You're more creative by far. When you're more relaxed, is your body healthier or less healthy? It's healthier when you relax. It's stress that inflames the body. So the entire idea is if you can relax a little, it will come. They will come. Whatever it is that you want to come will come. The challenging opportunity is, well, how to relax then? How can I reduce the desperation, the neediness, the greediness, the feeling of lack that I feel is objectively justifiable? I don't have the money. My body is in pain. I'm not healthy the way I want to be. I don't have a partner. Like, how can I relax into that experience in a way that doesn't make me more depressed and that allows whatever good I want to come a lot more quickly, easily, and enjoyably?
You actually read my mind. I was just going to ask, how do you do that? I know from personal experience, especially when it's a physical pain in your body that's already been manifested, it's just so in your face all the time. It's hard to relax, especially if you have young children like me. I have a 1.5-year-old son and I'm trying to take care of him and work and deal with this and not being able to walk. I mean, it's been a lot this whole year, basically. And so it's like, well, how do you do that? So I'd love to hear any thoughts on that, because I can tell you from personal experience, there have been moments where I almost forget about what I'm going through. If I'm just hanging out on the couch with my husband watching a movie, it's like I almost forget that I'm in pain for a second. You know, if those moments of relaxation, that's when things start to move. Like we talked about, I'm almost to the end of that journey because we have a clear path. We have a solution in sight and a way forward, which I'm just thrilled about. But when I was in those moments where I wasn't quite sure if I was going to get better and what was going on and if there was a solution, it's so hard to take your mind off of that, especially when you're in pain physically, or let's say you're going through some major financial struggle or medical issue or something. Do you have any tips for people who are in that situation where the problem is just so in their face constantly that it's hard to take their mind off of that for a minute?
For sure. And you're right. I used to work with folks that were experiencing chronic pain, folks that had a terminal illness for a while. And a few things that I learned from so many wiser people. One is try to identify the things, people, and places that make it worse and try to stay away from those things, people, and places at all costs. Okay. So some things and people and places make your pain more painful. We want to do everything we can to 7 things, reduce or eliminate, outsource or delegate, automate or regulate, or innovate around those people, places, or things that make your pain more painful. So in other words, if it's a family member that tends to irritate you, we know that when you're irritated, stressed, or anxious, your pain is going to go up. If we can reduce the sources of stress, anxiety, and pain in your life without compromising the greater goals, desires that you have, let's please do that. Often the most we can do is not make the pain more painful by one, doing precisely what I'm saying, try to get out from underneath of doing things or spending time with people that make the pain more painful. We can maybe call those happiness deserts. On the other hand, we want to identify, let's call them happiness islands. Those are people, places, and activities that make the pain less painful. And we want to spend more time in those places with those people and doing those things. Sometimes those things are as simple as taking a bath or taking a shower or it's being in bed a little longer than you might be otherwise. But the idea is, how can you do more of those things, okay, or spend more time with those people? But then we go deeper and we say, okay, we know that pain also has a subjective quality or element. So to your point, when you're so absorbed and engaged in watching a movie or a TV show or in the arms of someone that you love or that loves you, you notice how all of a sudden you forget about the pain, at least for a few moments, maybe a few minutes, maybe a few hours. That in of itself tells you not only that you should be doing more of those things if you can, but it also tells you the subjective nature of pain. And so noticing the variability in your pain is extraordinarily helpful. There's a phenomenal book called The Mindful Body by a researcher named Ellen Langer. She works out of Harvard and she's done a lot of studies on mindfulness. And she's found that if you can pay attention to the variability in your symptomology, in your symptoms, especially if it's physical pain, and notice the moments when you're not in pain, or at least notice afterwards, I'm in pain now, but I wasn't in pain for an hour or a couple minutes. That noticing of the variability itself can begin to reduce the pain that you experience, noticing variability. So the other piece of that is, so much of the stress and so many of the reasons that we don't notice variability and that we don't feel a reduction in pain, even if we do things that are supposed to be pain reducing and stay away from things that are supposed to be pain increasing, is because we do a lot of meaning making, a lot of storytelling. So there's the pain, the physical pain that we often can't do a whole heck of a lot about in the moment. But there's a greater part of this for most of us, or for lots of us, that's the subjective, the psychological and emotional pain and suffering that results when we tell ourselves a story and we make meaning out of the pain in our body. And that actually increases the objective pain. We don't think of it that way. We just think that we're reporting on or talking about or thinking about the pain that exists in our body. But when we think about the pain and we tell stories about it, and those stories are mostly negative and unconstructive and unsupportive, we find ourselves quickly increasing the pain. So we want to be able to either reframe those stories or make more positive, healthier, more optimistic meaning out of it. Or we want to drop the stories and the meaning making altogether. We don't have to have a story at all. It's just, what sensations do I experience here and now? If I can't take my attention off of them and away from them, can I experience it without an additional level or layer of judgment, of self-criticism, of frustration or anger or shame or guilt on top of it? Can I just let the pain be what it is? And that can be a little challenging, but this is also why so many enlightened, wise people, they become enlightened and wise to a large extent because they experience so much pain, sometimes physical pain. It drove them to drop the storytelling and the meaning making in such a deep way that it not only eventually led to them feeling less psychological and emotional pain and suffering, but also less physical pain and suffering, and often been spontaneous healings as a result of that. And there's a woman that wrote a book called Dying to Be Me, Anita Morjani, and she talks a little bit about that, not in this specific way, but she talks about how she was healed from cancer, she believes, not necessarily from adopting a new positive belief system. That's great if you can do it, but not always possible for everybody, but simply by dropping the unconstructive thoughts and the need to tell herself any story about what she was experiencing.
That's really true what you said, because sometimes I'll experience this intense pain and I can't just let it be. It's like, then I'm frustrated. Then I'm worried about what the next day is going to be like or what the rest of this evening is going to be like. And having a child on top of that, that you're taking care of, it just compounds everything and it can work me up to this place of anxiety and frustration. And so just letting it be what it is. And I love what you said too about noticing the variability of sometimes it really doesn't hurt all that much compared to other times. And just noticing that in and of itself can help reduce it altogether. Do I have that right?
Yes, you absolutely nailed it. That's exactly right. All of it. The variability, just the noticing is a great segue. There's a couple of tips and tricks there. So one is, if you can, in a positive, healthy way, distract yourself from the pain, do so and get lost in something else. By all means, let's do that. If the pain is too much and you can't get the tension off the body, then you bring your focus and attention and awareness and presence to the place in the body where the pain is. And you go into the experience of the body instead of going to the explanations in the brain. It's not only a challenge or an opportunity in reducing pain. It's also sort of a way to reduce all kinds of psychological and emotional suffering. So you go to the body and you notice what you're feeling, experiencing in the body without judgment. When thoughts come, you dismiss or ignore them. You go back to the sensations and you just stick to sensations. And if you want, you can use something called a somatic experiencing, which is like, okay, where in the body am I feeling this? What color the pain be? What texture would it be? What temperature would it be? Is it hot? Is it warm? Is it cool? Is the texture spongy? Is it hard? Is it coarse? Is the color blue or purple or red? That helps you get more into the experience of it. And then you can bring your focus and attention to some other area in the body that feels more spacious, more relaxed, doesn't hurt, isn't in pain. Maybe it feels more neutral, or maybe it even feels good. Allow yourself to scan the rest of your body and find a place in the body where you feel less pain. Put your energy and focus and attention there for a little while. That's one technique. Another technique is you can use all kind of breathing exercises. So box breathing is a great one, where you breathe in through the nose for a count of four, you hold for a count of four, you breathe out of the nose or mouth for a count of four, and you hold for a count of four. So it looks like a box if you were to draw it. You know, the Navy SEALs use it. Trust me, the Navy SEALs go through some severe, not only training, but have some relatively painful experiences. And so the idea is, with the breathing, when you breathe in that way, and you breathe from the stomach, then you induce what's called the relaxation response. And with the relaxation response, it actually reduces your subjective experience of pain. You can also do all kinds of other types of breathing, but the idea is to try to breathe from the diaphragm, from the stomach. So it's another way to reduce the stress and anxiety that's associated with pain that can then reduce your experience of pain. There have been books written, I think there was a book by the Dalai Lama and another author, Richard Davidson, I believe. They wrote a book, and part of the book was all about how monks experience less pain than the rest of us, even when their body seems to be in the same situation. So if you put their arms or their bodies in ice, they would actually report a much lower pain level than the rest of us, because they've spent time practicing dropping the story, being fully present and not going to the future, not going to the past, but to a large extent, just being, not thinking, not doing, and sort of relaxing and surrendering into the experience. More than that, they're also able to go deeper than that. So the last piece I'll just share is, sometimes when you focus on the breath, or you do the body scan piece, or you go where the pain is in the body, and you even do some of the somatic experiencing stuff, you don't get that much relief. Sometimes it can even intensify the pain for a little while. But if you can practice, and especially when you're not feeling the pain, practice filling into the peaceful aliveness, we'll call it within your body, but it's underneath all of the pain. So there's a peaceful aliveness that exists underneath all the pain. If you can practice filling into that peaceful aliveness when you're not in pain, then when you're in pain, it's a lot easier to go to that peaceful aliveness and get yourself some relief. So those are just a few little tips and tricks around pain and reduction. And if it doesn't reduce the pain, it certainly will reduce the stress and anxiety, which should also alleviate some of the pain.
Those were some really practical things that you can do right now to help get yourself to that place of relief, whether you have a physical condition or pain or medical issue, or if you're just feeling stress or anxiety or frustration and discouragement. So that was great. I love giving very specific practical tools that people can do right now, because these are some really big concepts, but I just love everything you shared today. I feel like we could just go on and on forever about this topic and some of the law of attraction things that you talk about. Do you have any last words of wisdom that you wanted to share on this topic or anything else before we close out today?
Yeah, a few things. One is that there's another great book called The Expectation Effect. It actually reports on some of Ella Langer's work, the woman I mentioned earlier, around the ways in which we can also reframe pain. So sometimes it can be very difficult to get out of your head. And with practice, you get better at it, I promise. But sometimes you can't get out of your head. So reframing pain in ways that are healthier and more constructive can also be helpful. So in a lot of the studies they report in that book and other places, they have found that reframing pain as energizing, that actually the pain that you're experiencing is an indication of the response, the healthy response your body is having thing to ridding itself of something or healing itself of something that is otherwise not good for you. So finding ways to actually accurately, truthfully reframe the pain that you're experiencing can be extraordinarily helpful, not only reducing the pain, but also facilitating healing. There's lots of ways to do this. You can do it through thinking truthful, better feeling thoughts and stories and meaning making. You can do it by not thinking or dropping the storytelling and the meaning making. You can do it by feeling into the body as opposed to being in the brain. And you can do it by spending time with people and places and on activities that allow you to be distracted from the pain or reduce your experience of the pain. So I'll just say that everybody will find a practice and an approach that works best for them. That practice and approach will probably evolve over time, but honor your own journey and trust your own intuition and do what works for you.
I love it. And that could go for any sort of pain or discomfort you're experiencing, even emotional pain, not just physical. So I think that's phenomenal. And where can people find you and learn more about what you do? I know you have an amazing Instagram page that I follow, and I can include information about your website or anything else about how people can follow you. I'd love to include that in the show notes as well.
Oh, you're so sweet. I just so enjoy and feel so grateful to connect with you. You're always so affirming and you're so generous. And I really deeply, truly appreciate that about you. Please know that. So yeah, folks can find me at my website at coachrobmack.com. You can find me on most social media platforms, probably most consistently Instagram at Rob Mack, M-A-C-K official. You can find both my published books, Happiness from the Inside Out and Love from the Inside Out, everywhere great books are sold, including Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Amazing. So I'll include all that information in the show notes, and feel free to leave me a rating or write a review for everyone listening. If my podcast episodes or videos have been helpful for you, 5-star ratings help my podcast out a lot. It will help get these messages spread to more people so we can really share this message of self-love and empowerment and tuning into your authentic self and your heart's true desire, so you'll naturally become a match to anything you want in life and love. This was amazing. Thank you so much again. I would love to bring you back on my podcast sometime. I always love chatting with you, and I think everything you shared will be really helpful for everyone listening.
So appreciate you. Thank you.
The biggest mistake women make when a man is hot and cold, acting distant, or pulling away is something called a connection barrier, and it only pushes him further away. If you'd like to read about what a connection barrier is so you don't accidentally make it, go to forever1234.com. Again, that's forever1234.com.